I was kind of hoping you'd come in with a Patriots Run the East t-shirt. Did you get one of those? Or?
I did. Yes, I did. Yeah.
those things were on point.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of that. We're proud of the hats and the t-shirts and you know what the team accomplished yesterday. It's one of our goals at the beginning of the year, and it's nice to be able to say that we've won this division. So proud of that.
As an historian of the game, as I know you are, when you see your name on a list with Don Shula, George Halas, Tom Landry, and Curly Lambeau, that's a pretty impressive list to be on. And only three of those guys, Shula, Halas, and Landry, have won more games as a head coach in the NFL than you have. Is that a humbling experience to be included in that company?
Sure it is. Yeah, sure it is. Those are great coaches, and it's very flattering to be. To have your name in with those guys, no question about it. That being said, I think really, you know, the task at hand is what's really important to this football team, and it's probably another time to address that. But right now, it's about getting ready for the Jets and continuing to work towards the goals and the opportunity that we have this season for this football team. So I think that's really the most important thing right now.
I was going to ask you that. That's my question. You said it could be addressed at a different time. I was looking at everything happened yesterday and, you know, 12 division titles and six straight division titles and all these things. When is your step back moment? When do you say, okay, I'm going to think about all the accomplishments here? Do you do that every offseason? Do you say, that's going to happen when my career is over? How do you approach that?
I'm looking forward to that day sometime in the future. It seems like as soon as the offseason's over, we're down at the Senior Bowl and off to the combine and, you know, trying to sign and work out players and OTAs and all that. So it's a pretty fast pace when the season's over. It really is, especially when you're in the postseason and then you're right into the next season. So hopefully that'll be the case this year, and we'll put it off a little bit longer.
And it's crazy, the business that you're in. You know, you shouldn't give me any kind of idle time, especially with the kids are away. I come up with all these numbers. So this is not including all the interim head coaches who've been in the AFC East since you took over the Patriots. We've got at least 16 head coaches, but more with interims, 25 offensive coordinators, and 20 defensive coordinators, not including the Patriots, that you've had to deal with. At the very least, this is a wild, crazy business that you're in with tremendous turnover. How difficult is it to be stable and have your message get across year after year after year in this weird business that you're in?
Yeah, well, as Jerry Glanville has joked many times, maybe not so much in jest, not NFL is not for long, and you know, I saw that my first 5 years I was in the league, I was in four different cities with five different head coaches, so I know that, you know, I know that side of it, and you're sitting there at the end of the year and you're wondering what city your stuff's going to be in next year, so but that certainly hasn't been the case here, and it's you know, it's been a great opportunity to work for Robert and his family and this organization. They made a strong commitment to winning, and so have all the people that have worked here, the coaches and the players and all the support people, and so we're proud of the success that we've had, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that I've had here to be able to achieve some of what we've done.
General rule, Bill, would you rather have your quarterback in the red zone, sticking his nose in, trying to bust into the end zone, or would you, generally speaking, prefer that he take a slide once in a while?
Well, I think we've seen Tom slide, you know, quite a few times. There's a few times when he hasn't, and you know, I would never second guess Tom's decisions on the field. I think he always does what he thinks is best at that moment in time, and he has to make a lot of decisions in a very, very short amount of time. It's a very tough position to play, and I don't think from a decision-making standpoint there are many that do better than he does, so I would never second-guess him. Certainly I coach him, and We talk about situations and talk about things to do maybe the next time they come up, but I wouldn't second guess anything that he does on the football field.
Is it safe to say that the team loved it?
Well, I mean, you know, look, Tom's a tough guy, and you know, at that point in time, we were not playing very well. I mean, we'd gone through a very bad stretch before the half, and you know, it was a drive that we had a 1-point lead, but you know, we kind of needed to reestablish and get some kind of control of the game, and I think that's what he was trying to do.
We've never been in an NFL locker room at halftime. We don't know what happens there, so we rely on people like you to share what you can. You talked about the drive at the end of the plays at the end of the first half and how that didn't go your way, and you come out and just hit all barrels blazing at the beginning of the third quarter. What goes on at halftime? How much yelling, screaming, adjusting? What's going on in there?
Well, I think it depends on the game. It depends on the situation. But I think, you know, yesterday was a good example of it really wasn't about plays. It was about execution and communication. You know, players did a good job in the second half in all three phases of playing alert, playing smart, playing tough, executing well, making a lot of plays that we had the opportunity to make, and stringing them together and eliminating bad plays. And I think at the end of the first half, we strung together plays. They were just all bad. So, and obviously that's a reflection of bad coaching. So the halftime is really more about what we were going to do in the second half and the level of execution that we needed. And players did that, and they did it very quickly. They responded right away from the opening drive of the third quarter, you know, into the fourth quarter. I mean, that was a huge swing in the game, and players did a great job of making plays and capitalizing on opportunities.
I wonder what you think the drive of the week was. I mean, Jerry may have mentioned it with the Tom Brady 17-yard scamper that set up a touchdown. It's time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as a benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. So what's your...
I'll go with that one. Yeah.
Go with that one?
I'll go with that one.
Was it just because of what you said, just establishing the tone and getting some rhythm after an uneven first half?
Yeah, just gaining, you know, we had a, you know, an 8-point lead, and we threw it away, you know, in a matter of seconds, and started that third quarter with that seam pass to Rob, and then, you know, made a few couple plays there for a first down, and, you know, third and 11 was a big scrambling and a goal line run with LeGarrette from the 3-yard line, which he got in pretty, you know, convincingly. So, no, I thought that was a great drive that combined a lot of things that we needed. Big play, third down conversion, goal line run. So it was great.
Bill, I thought one of the most interesting parts of the game was seeing Chandler Jones and Akeem Ayers playing together, and it seemed like you were able to work them in a lot of different combinations, and you were getting pressure with four and sometimes three guys. These are guys who really haven't practiced together, right? I mean, except for a couple of days. So
right.
How were you able to integrate those two together for the first time?
You're right. Jerry, they haven't had a lot of time together, but it was certainly good to get Chandler back. Chandler's practiced with us the last couple of weeks, similar to Silver, Siligo practicing with us and then playing last week against San Diego. So it was good to get Chandler back, but we have had on the practice field, and you know, I thought that he and Akeem, well, we had a number of different combinations of rushers, but that he and Akeem, Rob, High, Jamie, Matt Patricia dialed up a few different combinations and a couple different pressures and so forth, and we were just trying to keep them off balance, and they executed, you know, they executed those things really well. There's some good individual rushes, and then we had some good, you know, games and pick kind of stunts and things like that work well, too, so... you know, it really came together for us, and obviously it's always better when you can play from ahead. And I mean, they only ran the ball, what was it, four times in the second half or something like that. It was kind of the reverse of the situation that we had down there in the first Miami game. So, you know, once they were kind of in a pass on every down mode, that made it a lot easier to call some of those pass rush games and get an opportunity to run them.
We've talked to you on a number of occasions about the importance of special teams. And just in yesterday's game, I can come up with Nate Ebner, Jamie Collins, Kyle Arrington, Vince Wilfork, Silver Salinga. Your kicker, Steven Guskowski, becomes the all-time leading scorer in franchise history. And there was one subtle little play where Danny Amendola had to go back and field a short punt and save that 15 yards that you talked to us about last week. So many special teams plays that your guys made yesterday that were key.
Right, and it's interesting in the kicking game because those plays just don't come up every week. One week it's one thing, the next week it's something else. It could be an onside kick or it could be a safety-related play or punt return, field goal rush, end of the game field goal. You just never know, but it seems like there's always a handful of them, but the situations are always a little bit different. And it's preparation, it's knowing what to do in those situations, and then, of course, it's executing. And we got some big plays yesterday. Obviously, the block by Jamie was a well-executed rush with the line and Jamie getting through the gap and timing the jump and Kyle on the scoop and score. We're really close on the next one with Casillas. I mean, I don't know how that ball didn't get blocked. Maybe I think it might have nicked his finger, but the play by Amendola was we were in a two deep look. We showed a one deep look and then Danny backed out of there. He made a good play on the ball, didn't fair catch it. He found enough space to pick up another 10 yards or so after he caught the ball, so it ended up being a 20-yard net punt. We put ourselves in good field position there, and that converted that into points. Stevens' field goals, as poorly as the punt play was, it was a great play by Ebner to save the touchdown and make the tackle. There were a lot of key plays there.
I want to ask you about Tom's long article this week about his nutritional program and how he really has dedicated himself to not just working out but eating, just totally remade his whole routine. Did he talk to you about that? And it seems a little different than your average NFL workout. Did you need to be convinced that this was a positive routine for him? Or did you, when he said, "I'm doing this," you just said, "Okay, whatever it takes to get you ready." How did that work?
Well, I think Tom pretty much did that. Did that. I don't want to say on his own, but on his own. I think it started with Willie, with McGinnis, and then Tom worked with Alex, and I'm definitely familiar with what he does, and I mean not in great deal, but the detail, but the concept of it. And Tom trains very hard. He always has. Go all the way back to his rookie second year. He was, you always see him in a weight room. Come in on Saturday, he'd be in there by himself, lifting, doing things like that. So, Tom's always trained hard, and I think as his career has progressed, he's tried to train smarter, find little things that'll improve himself somehow, and get a little bit of an edge. And that's the way it is in everything, whether it's training, studying film. Calling plays, making adjustments, running routes. He's a very detailed oriented guy. He's very smart, and he's able to process a lot of information effectively. So he can take little things and find ways to turn them into positive elements for himself.
Along those lines, I want to ask you a question about memory, and not that it has to be this way for all elite athletes, but just wondering what your experience is. There was a story about Brady, how he remembers plays. He can go back, 5 years, 6 years. We did this. We were going in this direction by the lighthouse, and you go back and check the film, and he's right. Is that necessary for a guy to be great, or have you come across great athletes who have terrible memories, but they're just still, I mean, they do what they need to do to get it done, but if you ask them, "Hey, do you remember that game from 2 years ago?" They say, "No, I don't know what you're talking about."
No, I'd say most of them have pretty good memories, and can go into a lot more, even a lot more detail than that. Not only which way we were going and who was against and what the distance was and all that, but which player it was, which player it was that almost sacked them, which player it was that we ran the route against, who he was in there for in place of, and why we went after that guy, or, things like that. Tom has a very, very good memory. And very detailed, and on specific plays, he can tell you, who ran the route, who blocked for him, who was covering, who we expected to be covering, but that guy was out of the game. I mean, he's very good like that.
It's just obsession with the job and just really being into all aspects of it.
You think I'd say being totally into it, but also being very smart in terms of just recall and basic intelligence. I mean, he's Tom's a sharp guy, and he remembers and not only just remembers, but the things that he's been a part of, he's into it, and they all, he still has a good recollection of them, and he does that on game day too. When it's one of the most impressive things about Dale mentioned earlier about what it's like being in the locker room, but what's even more impressive is being on the field with a player like Tom. And say, okay, Tom, what happened on this play? And, he'll tell you 10 different things that happened on the play. And then when you go to watch the film, you see all the things that he talked about. The line, the rush, the relationship of the linebackers, the route, where the corner was, what all the things that he saw on that play. He's not just looking at a receiver. He's seeing a lot of things, around him, and a lot of all the elements that are involved in the situation of the play, the down, the distance, the time, and all that, but also all the things that are surrounding him. And, it's pretty impressive. But I'll say that with most great players, that's the case too. Brewski can do the same thing, talk about, a play and who the player was, how his eyes were on that play, what he was looking at, how the blocking went. How deep the back was, how far away the back was from the polar, all those things. I mean, they see so much in such a quick amount of time and can process it. It's what makes them great pro football players.
Yeah, Bill, that same article mentioned that Brady eats an ice cream substitute made out of avocados. Have you tried it?
I haven't.
I think you're probably good that way.
Yeah, it's good.
I think there's a lot of us on the team that haven't.
Yeah, if it would make me the greatest quarterback that ever lived, I still don't think I'd touch it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to it than that. I'm not saying that's not good, but I don't think there's a lot more
but
to
not,
it than
it's not the
playing,
key.
Eating avocado ice cream. And,
last non-Patriots football question for me. Did you get any time this weekend to watch Navy beat Army?
I did. I sure did. I was able to actually before the game, because we had a staff meeting and the players came in a little bit later on Saturday afternoon. So I was actually able to watch the march on. I was able to watch a lot of the what led up to the game, which isn't quite as interesting as the game, but it's pretty interesting. And just the whole, the Brigade of Midshipmen, the Corps of Cadets, the march on, all the pageantry and kind of the buildup of the rivalry. And I saw a little bit of the game. So always, it was kind of like a doubleheader. Navy beat Army, Patriots win.
Perfect weekend. Yeah.
It's 13 straight, right?
It
13
is.
Straight. Yeah.
So is that the longest streak?
Oh, yeah, by far.
By far.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, as we say, on to the New York Jets.
Yes, sir.
Great to see you again. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Dale. Michael, Jerry, thank you.